All right, if you wish to follow along, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, I want to read verses 9 through 18. Romans 3, 9 through 18. Paul asks a couple questions. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, and he's actually before proved in this letter. He's not talking about it some other occasion, some other place, though that certainly may be true, but he's talking about in this very letter, he's already proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, and his appeal, remember, is to the Scripture. As it is written, and let me also say this, he is quoting from a man who wrote these words. But the words, the truth, came from God Almighty. When he says it is written, this is God speaking through the prophet. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. That is, if we all got together and put forth our best effort, it is still unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Weird statement, isn't it? Their feet, not their hands. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Their ways. That means all their ways. And the way, see that? Singular. Because there is not ways in this next verse. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, if I were to be asked to come to the, whether it be here in Beckley or more down my way in Princeton, if I were to be asked to come to the first such and such church, you all know of places like that, right? First Baptist Church or First Presbyterian Church or whatever it might be. I would venture to say that if I were asked to come to one of these places and I were to read these very verses. Now you say, preacher, that'll never happen. Whenever I never thought I would preach my papa, my grandfather on my father's side, I never thought I would preach his funeral either. So let us never tell God what will happen. Never. Never. If I were to read these verses amongst the religious, moral socialite. And you know what I'm talking about. The religious, moral socialite. I am sure that they would recoil at the wretched state of such people described in this verse. Wouldn't they not? Remember, you see them on TV. If you do watch it, I'm not encouraging you to watch it, but they're there with their little white hats on, and the men have their three-piece suits and their ties, and they're sitting there with their hands folded, maybe their Bibles on their lap, and they hear these verses read, and they would recoil at the state of such miserable wretches described here. They might even get together and say, we need to start a soup kitchen for folks like that. Don't you think? Well, the greatest soup kitchen that ever was never saved one person. And that soup kitchen was ordained and orchestrated by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. because he took bread and fishes and fed thousands out of just a few, just a handful. That's a soup kitchen, wouldn't you say? And the people who were fed went to great lengths to follow him. Why? Because they loved having their bellies fed. But when he began to teach them the truth of the absolute sovereignty of God in salvation, they got up and walked away. But if I were to read these verses amongst the independent, fundamental, aisle-walking, Jesus-accepting crowd, I'm sure they would call for a soul-winning campaign to be done in the neighborhood that we might help rescue such wretches like that. Don't you figure they would? I used to be in a group of people like that. Oh, they might say, well, yes, some of us used to be like that. Yes, maybe some of us used to be like that. You know, old so-and-so back there in the back aisle. Old so-and-so over here, you know. They used to be like that, but we're saved now. We're saved now. Our Lord Jesus spoke about people like that as well. He said, you will compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when you've made him, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Paul talked of winning some, but not winning their soul. Because man cannot win another man's soul savingly. You may win a man's soul, but it won't be to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the one who wins men and women's souls. But, also, if I were to read these verses, that is Romans 3, 9 through 18, if I were to read them amongst the charismatic crowd, I'm sure there would be some of them that would seek to impress such wretches as this with their flesh-filled, outwardly religious signs, and maybe just coax a few of them out of the dregs. And they could do so. They could do so. But our Lord Jesus Christ said these words, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And if you need a sign other than the one sign that Christ said was given, then you are of that wicked and adulterous generation. And that sign was the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But on the flip side, there also are those, if I was to read these verses, amongst the crowd of the lewd, baser sort. Do you know what I'm talking about? James mentions people like that. Acts 17 and verse 5. Men of the lewd, baser sort. Dare I say, you redneck trash. The people that love to gather up their four-wheelers on Sunday morning and go four-wheeling in the mud rather than going to worship God in the local assembly. If I were to read these verses to them, they would scoff and excuse themselves because at least I'm not a religious hypocrite. I'm not like them other three religious hypocritical groups. I'm not trying to be anything I'm not. You don't have to try to be this. You are this. Whether you like it or not. Whether you're amongst the religious, moral, socialite crowd, or you're amidst the independent, fundamental, aisle-walking crowd, or whether you're amidst the charismatic crowd, we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me read just a couple verses here. Let me tell you something. We preach that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. But being a sinner is not your hope. Being a sinner will damn your soul forever apart from the free reigning grace of God Almighty in Christ Jesus. And Jesus Christ didn't just come to save sinners. He came to call sinners to repentance. That's what it means when he saves sinners. That's what it means. Listen to what is said. It's in the book of Job. And I know the man that said it was applying it wrongly because he was applying it to Job. He was trying to say, Job, you're like this. But what he said is still true. And listen to what it says. Remember, I'm not a hypocrite. I may go to hell, but I won't go to hell with the hypocrites. No, if the hypocrite goes to hell, you'll go to hell with the hypocrite. But you won't even know him or her when you're there because you'll be by yourself forever, forever. Listen to what it says. Let me find my spot. Knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed on earth? The triumphing of the wicked is short. It'll come to an end. Wait a minute. And the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. So they're both short. You see, God's not going to save you because you're willing to call out the hypocrite. God will save you based upon the person and work of His Son Jesus Christ, or you will not be saved. Now hear me now. Don't turn your mind against what I'm saying here. My text describes me right now today, standing behind this podium with my Bible open in front of me and my notes here in front of me. It describes me by nature. This is what I am. And this describes you. And this describes you. And this describes you. There is none righteous. That ought to be enough. But God says, no, not one. No, not one. Now here is my title. I realize this is not a pleasant subject. I realize it's not a pleasant subject. I realize that if I preach this message publicly in front of some of these people I just talked about earlier, they probably at best would never have me come back again. They may even run me out. I have experienced that personally. Here's my subject. Our universal, wretched corruption. Now, as I have tried to point out often through this series from this book, when we find a passage that gives us a little trouble, when we find a passage that seems to condemn us, then don't try to self-justify to get away from the condemnation. You're only sticking your head in the sand in willing ignorance to the truth of God. If this describes me, and it does, then I need to know the remedy for such a state as this. Right? Sticking my head in the sand will gain me no favor with God. Well, I just didn't know. Tell that to the police officer the next time you're going 75 in a 25 school zone. And just tell him, I just didn't know. If you tell him that, I hope he socks you with a $300 bill. Because it's nothing but self-justification before God. But we cannot justify ourselves before God because of the wickedness of someone else. There are thousands of people in this world that are better than me when you compare me to them. But this ain't what Paul's talking about here. I have four thoughts I want to give you. The first one is this. It's found in Chapter 3, verse 10 and 11, all are under sin. Think of it. None righteous. But folks, this is a specific righteousness that God is talking about here. Even our Lord said the Pharisees have a righteousness. Because your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. So Mason, he acknowledged they had a righteousness. But this is not the righteousness the writer is talking about, whether it's Paul or the prophet he was quoting from. This is God's righteousness. God does not require of us to be better than some other group among us. He demands we must be as righteous as Himself. And there are preachers who deny that in pulpits every Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday, whatever it is. There is none righteous. There's none that what? Understandeth. Well, can't we figure out calculus? I mean, they do things now. What's it called? Quantum physics? I mean, it's like this to me. I actually got online and listened to people explain quantum physics, and I'm more confused now than I was when I began. Man understands a great deal, but he don't understand God. He don't understand God. That's the problem. And even when he reads this book, he will say, well, that can't mean what it says. Why? Because he don't understand. There's none that what? And then he says it. There is none that seeketh after God. But I see thousands of people walking aisles. You could watch the old Billy Graham crusades and Jack Madison. There'd be hundreds walking the aisles. But they weren't seeking God. Because you will seek God as God is, revealed in this book, or you are not seeking God at all. You see, somebody says, well, you're a literalist. Yes, I am a literalist. I am a literalist. But I also know that words have far more than just one little teeny tiny meaning. I indicated one earlier, and we'll look at it a little bit. I don't have time to go into all these phrases and try to describe all the nuances. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Now, maybe some karate expert has killed someone with his feet, but I don't know too many people going around killing folk with their feet. Do you? So just hang on to that thought for a minute. Remember it as it is written. And whose word is this? This is God's pronouncement about us. Not how we see one another. I don't see this in other people sometimes. I look at other people and I'm far worse than they are. Don't you? And there are other folks I look at and I think, I'm a little bit better than that. Huh? And probably so when we compare one worm to another worm. But this is the thrice holy God giving His sentence about how He sees us. And we are as God sees us, not as we see ourselves. None righteous. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. This is our active discontent with God Himself. These three first phrases. It's active discontent with God Himself. The fact that we don't, there's none righteous, there's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God, is because we hate God's perfections. We hate God's holiness. We hate God's preeminence. We don't mind to worship God if God will let us have a little percentage of the fun and the merit and the credit. Now, do we? Don't mind it at all, as long as God gives me a little percentage of this thing. But God says, my glory, I will not share with another. He won't do it. He won't do it. You see, righteousness. I don't care whether it's religious righteousness. And there is some religious righteousness out there. There is denominational righteousness out there. Is there not? There are some people that are better than other people, but we're none righteous before God. There's none that understands God as we are by nature. And the dilemma for us was we was created in the image of God. But we are so depraved that that cannot be seen now. Mason, I believe to a degree, in some way, it's still true. James talks about that. And we ought not be cursing men, you know, but I mean, just damning everybody. Because everybody's bad. No, I'm not damning everybody. I'm telling us what God says we really are. Somebody said, but preacher, some of these people might be one of God's elect. No! No! Some of them are one of God's elect. But we're dealing with them like they are in this, in God's sight. And we need to quit wondering, well, they might be one of God's. That's not the point. This is the point. This is what we are by nature. And we need to expose ourselves and others to what we really are, rather than patting them on the back and placating them, thinking they might be one of God's elect. They may be a reprobate too. They may be a Judas Iscariot waiting to sell you out for less than 30 pieces of silver. Let us tell the truth to men and women about what they are in God's sight. And not placate them. Why? Because there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. But here's number two. See our active, reckless abandon. You heard us say it. See our active, reckless abandon. They are all gone out of the way. Do you hear it? They're all gone out of. Now, it's an amazing thing. Because one, in our daddy Adam, we all at one time were in the way. We were okay. God said about us in our parents, Adam and Eve, that we were good. Did he not? And yet in our daddy Adam, what do? We went out of the way. But I'll tell you this, man also still has a conscience. And that conscience lets us know that some things are right and some things are wrong. We also, most of us, have eyes to see the glory of God's universe. And even creation testifies to the very Godhead of God Almighty. There are no true atheists. There are people who want to be atheists. They want to believe that there is no God. But their hearts and minds tell them better. It tells them better. Because even they, if you mess around with the atheist wife, you think he's going to love you? Well, we're here, we're evolving, and whatever we evolve into, that's just what we are. So if I evolve into someone that takes your wife away from you, what's wrong with that, Jack? Huh? How many people you know want to live like that? Oh, wait a minute, except for maybe that redneck trash. That's the way they live anyway. I ain't supposed to say stuff like that, am I? I'm supposed to preach sovereign grace. Now, I'm talking about what God says we are. And we're all the same. Because God's looking down inside here. He's not looking out here. You see our reckless abandon? They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. Unprofitable to who? To God. To God. God don't need us. If God saved one individual, it wasn't because God needed them. It's because God was pleased to manifest His grace and mercy in Christ. They're together become unprofitable. There are none that, now think about this. You read this and you look out here in the world. I watch these commercials for St. Jude's crippled, you know, the crippled children, the cancer hospital. And I tell my wife, I couldn't work there. I couldn't watch those little babies suffer and die. I couldn't do it. But I thank God there's some folks who can. Aren't you? I'm sure those parents that get invited to come there and take their babies there are glad there are men and women who do such good. But we're not talking about that kind of good. We're talking about God good. In the sense that when the rich young ruler came and was very respectful, even bowed down before Jesus, ran to him and said, good master, what good thing might I do to inherit eternal life? And Christ didn't even acknowledge that to start with, did he? He said, why callest thou me good? There is none good but God. You see, the rich young ruler had missed it from the get-go. Christ was good, because Christ is God. But the rich young ruler, Mason, he didn't know Christ was God. He was just trying to kiss up. He was just trying to kiss up. And that's what some of your relatives, your blood kin, are doing. They're just kissing up. God takes everything from you and makes you a pauper. See how long they hang around. God puts you down and lets you fall back into the dregs of what you still are by nature. See how much they come around. Or just preach the truth of Christ to them and preach the truth of what they are to them. They'll quit coming around unless God Almighty moves in grace and sovereign mercy. We have reckless abandon. Their throat. And this ain't, I'm a literalist, but this ain't talking about having bad breath. You understand what I'm saying? Their throat is an open sepulcher. Does that mean you got bad breath? Isn't that literal? I'm saying there's more to these words than just the physical meaning or some physical meaning. What comes out of us is rotten death before God. You see it? Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And I'm guilty of it, and you're guilty of it. God says so, whether we see it or not. That's the whole point. It's not whether we see it. God says we're like this. God says this is your condition. You know what the glorious thing is, or a glorious thing is when God actually exposes that to you. When God actually lets you see what you really are. Because until you begin to see how bad you really are before Him, you'll never really seek Him as He is. You'll pretend Him in your mind as you think He is, just enough to get me where I need to go. Won't you do that? That God can be as sovereign as He wants as long as it ain't over me. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. You can harm somebody irreparably with this. I mean, Don Fortner one time had a guy come to see me, but something along the lines, not going to be verbatim. Well, I didn't write it down. I didn't go back and listen to the message, but Don said a fellow come to him and we were talking about, you know, when you hurt someone, when you say something to someone and you hurt them. And he said, but I have tough skin. I can take it. And, you know, I can forgive and forget. And Don said, I looked at him and told him, if you pour scalding water in my face, you may forget tomorrow, but I won't forget tomorrow. It ain't about how we think about this. It's how God thinks about this. And no matter how wretched we are God's wretched creation. God made us what we are by judgment when Adam fell. Now, do you hear what I just said? Now, I didn't say God's the guilty part, but God said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. He did. And God is still conducting Himself according to His divine order, and everything brings forth after its own kind. So everything after Adam is born just like Adam was after he fell. And God was the one that determined it be that way. He pronounced the judgment. He's the one that killed man when man rebelled against God in the garden. Throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they've used to seek. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. This ain't talking about just swear words. Though I've got no reason to think that's not included in that, right? I've told you this before. This person professes to believe Christ, but still when a person cusses and swears, it shows their intelligence. Hogwash! Hogwash! This person professes to believe God. Maybe they do, because we can do and say some stupid things. But that ain't so. Your swear words, and you, that don't show your intelligence. It shows you what you are right here. That's what it shows you, what you are right here. But what else? Cursing and bitter. We curse God. We get bitter against God. Just let the check not show up when we thought it was supposed to. Let the person that runs the HR mess up on the payroll one time. You don't get your check when you're supposed to. You start, well, I'm not cursing against God. Yes, you are, because God Almighty ordained that. You remember David? Now, David didn't always do this. Oh, Shimei up there throwing rocks at him? Huh? One of his men said, I'll remove his head from his neck. David said, no. God bid him curse. If God bid him curse, let him curse. Maybe God will requite me good for this evil he's doing to me today. Do you see it? Oh, Jack, if I could live like that every day. But I don't. Cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Quickly. Everywhere we go, we are that far away, just that far away from actually murdering someone if God don't restrain us. Now, I'm not saying this illustration I will give applies to everybody, but I don't know how many people I've murdered in my lifetime when they cut me off in traffic. And folks, people are literally doing that today. It's called road rage, and people are killing one another just because somebody beeps the horn when somebody else thinks they shouldn't, or somebody cuts them off. Have you ever made a mistake driving? You ever pulled out in front of somebody? If you drive very long, you will. Do you want somebody to kill you for it? But it's more than that. Our feet are swift to what? We will sacrifice to anything and everything but God. Now that applies as well. Our feet are swift. Well, God, I'll do this for you if you do that for me. That is calling Christ's sacrifice of no avail. You see, that's how bad we really are. Because I've never literally killed somebody. I mean, I told you about the time I killed Elvis. Buried him in the leaves. But thank God I woke up and I realized it was a dream. But I was in a cold sweat because I thought everybody will hate me now because I killed Elvis. But you know why I would dream something like that? Because it's down in here. If it wasn't down in here, it ain't going to come up into here. Now I'm sure all your dreams are perfect and holy and righteous, aren't they? Let me move on. Let me look at this. This is our active, reckless abandon. But whether it's base immorality or religious heresy, it's all damnable. It's all damnable. You know, you got some people that just live in base immorality. You got other people who live in religious heresy, but God condemns it all. Because it all dishonors Him. And there are some people who are very immoral in one or two things, but very moral in other things. You've heard of the phrase, what is it called, honor among thieves? Folks, I know what I'm talking about a little bit here. I mean, there's one thing that they all hate is the child molester. He's described in these verses. But not me. Yeah, you. Yeah, me. Let me move on. Number three, see our spiritual ignorance exposed. The way of peace have they not known. Does this mean that what God's talking about here through the apostle, this mean that all denominations ought to get along? If that were so, we'd all call ourselves by the same name, wouldn't we? Now wouldn't we? Wouldn't have to have Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Church of God, whatever it is, Church of Christ. Wouldn't have to have that if we actually could get along. But what is the problem? We don't all believe the same thing about God. and two cannot. Now they may feign it, but two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And I heard Henry and I heard Earl both say, somebody ain't agreed with God. And that's the main problem. Somebody's not agreed with God. And you can't walk with God unless you agree to what God says about us and about Himself. That's our spiritual ignorance exposed. The way of peace have they not known. Christ is our peace. Christ came and made peace. He made peace between God and man. He made peace between Jew and Gentile. He made it. He didn't make it possible. He made it. And then He came and preached that peace. Huh? And He's still preaching that peace today through men He's ordained to preach that peace. But by nature, none of us know that way. Now we might can understand the doctrine of it, the ABCs of it, the, you know, Roman numeral 1, Roman numeral 2, Roman numeral 3. But you don't love God for it. You see, the amazing thing is that I have a little bit of reason, as I say, a little bit of reason to think that I actually love God, Mason, like God reveals Himself in this book. And all kinds of people around me don't. I got kinfolk. They hate the God I love. So how can we get along in peace? The only way is for you or I to compromise the truth of Jesus Christ. That's the only way. You just don't say anything. Okay? Don't say anything. But don't turn against God's people and turn for these rebels. God's people are still sinners. You hear me? We have to be patient and long-suffering with one another, let alone that unbelieving infidels out here. You understand that? We got to. I need your patience and long-suffering, and you need mine as well. If not, we will bite and devour one another, and then you'll be alone with that crowd out there. Is that what you really want? I don't. Do you? The way of peace have they not known. You want to know if somebody loves the gospel or not? Tell them to come listen to Walter and Joe and Paul, and if you don't, you hate God. Tell them that and see what happens. Well, I don't have to go listen to them. That, don't you tell God what you don't got to do. Like the one fellow said, he said, I want to be saved, but I've been baptized 4 or 5 times and I'm not going to be baptized again. God will send you to hell for that. Because you don't dictate to God what you'll do and what you won't do. Baptism don't justify you before God, but it is the answer of a good conscience. And you got to have a good conscience before you go in the water, or you ain't never truly been baptized. Is it? If baptism's the answer of a good conscience toward God, and that's what it's about. It ain't about you feeling good toward us. It's a good conscience toward God. That's got to be there first. How'd I get on baptism? Because I thought about the Church of Christ. I heard that one. He said, you come into contact with the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism. That is a heretical lie. Christ's blood was shed one time. And one time only. And when He shed that blood, Paul, you read it, He obtained eternal redemption for some folk. Mason, salvation, as far as God Almighty is concerned, is accomplished with all the legal hurdles out there. It's accomplished. Now He's just going along and calling people out. Last one. Number 4. See our morbid tranquility before a holy God. There is no fear of God before their eyes. I was watching YouTube, and there's this lady that had murdered, that she was actually found guilty. They suspect that she had murdered a lot more. They think she's probably a serial killer. And I sit there and listen to her, and you can tell this woman is, She's out there. She said, I'm not afraid to die and go to hell. She don't know what she's talking about. She has no idea what she's talking about. That scares me. One of you started talking like that in here, I'd say, y'all, you stay in here. We're going to go out there in the car and have service. I ain't going to stay in here. Well, I do fear God. And I'm not talking about superstition. Herod was a man. Jack Mattis Herod. God put Herod in a high position. He had all the food he ever wanted. Right, Mason? Clothes. Had respect from people. Did he not? And all he had to do was just give glory to God. Right? And he didn't do it. And God killed him. And he went to hell. Oh, but even more. Judas Iscariot sat and listened to the master himself. Judas Iscariot preached the message of the master himself and was so acquainted with Jesus that when he came to betray Jesus, he had the nerve to kiss him on the cheek. Right? On the cheek. Remember when John seen him on Patmos? He wasn't looking for the cheek, was he? John fell at his feet as one dead. There's your difference. You got a people, they don't mind to kiss Jesus on the cheek, but they ain't gonna bow down at his feet. You see, when God reveals his Son to a person, by his blessed Holy Spirit, through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, by a wretched sinner preaching it. Do you hear that? Do we really remember that? By a wretched sinner preaching it, that person will wilt, will fade, will wither. They'll be brought, according to the psalmist, in Psalm 107, verses 27 and 28, they'll be brought to their wit's end. Have you ever been brought to your wit's end? I didn't ask you why I believe what Earl Cochran preached. So what? I believe what Walter Pendleton preaches. So what? Has God ever brought you to your wit's end and bowed you to the feet of His Son? You see, when God saves a sinner, He exposes the sinner as the sinner to the sinner. And nobody else matters when that happens. You ain't going to worry about the highfalutin religious moral socialite. You ain't going to worry about the independent, fundamental, I'll walk in Jesus accepting crowd. You ain't going to worry about the charismatic crowd. You ain't going to worry about the immoral redneck crowd. It's all going to be between you and God. Between you and God. And God, I need your mercy or I will perish just like everybody else. Self-justification before men. If this ever happens, if God ever saves you, self-justification before men will wilt. It'll wilt. Now, the dregs of it will still lay there. I mean, you see a flower, it wilts. It's still laying there, ain't it? But it's wilted. Our self-justification, it's still right there with me, Mason. But I think it's wilted some. And it'll wilt and you will cry out for propitious mercy. You know, we talk about that. Remember that publican, the Pharisee? He thought he was righteous. And he despised others. But let me tell you, you could be a self-righteous publican too. Well, I despise that old Pharisee. God saved one of those folks. Did he not?
Yes.
But you didn't placate that fellow before God saved him. He'd have had your head lopped off. See, when God saves a sinner, self-justification wilts, and men will cry out, God, be merciful. And if you look at the meaning of that word, that man knew a whole lot more than what most religious folk. He said, God, propitiate me. Have a sacrifice offered for me. Mason, how much he understood, I don't know. But he knew God's got to do this work. And God's going to do it through a sacrifice. You're getting somewhere if God ever teaches you that. You are the sinner, and you need to have God do something for you. That's a pretty good place to be in, ain't it? pretty good place to be. Somebody said, well, I don't like the way you preach. Well, I don't like the way you look. Not a lot of laughs there, is it? What's the difference? The way you look may not look good. But who I am preaching matters immensely. And you can despise my demeanor. You can despise my way of doing it. I understand that. That's okay. But you best not despise my Lord. Because you will perish if you do. Now, you didn't think Joe sent me a song, did you? We got it. And Penny said, you want me to read that to you? I said, sure, I want you to read that to me. And she read it to me, and I thought, I'm not going to read that before. I'm going to read that as the conclusion of my message. This is by Isaac Watts. Justification by faith, not by works. Romans 3:19, 20, and 21. Lord willing, I'll be getting there next week while Paul's gone. Vain are the hopes of the sons of men. On their own works have built. Their hearts by nature all unclean, and all their actions guilt. Let Jew and Gentile stop their mouths without a murmuring word, and the whole race of Adam stand guilty before the Lord. In vain we ask God's righteous law to justify us now, since to convince and to condemn is all the law can do. Jesus, how glorious is thy grace, when in thy name we trust, our faith receives a righteousness that makes the sinner just. You see, you don't believe to get righteousness. You believe him who is righteous, and God counts that to you for righteousness. That's the way it's supposed to be put, isn't it, Mason? You receive him who is the righteousness, and God counts that to you as righteousness. Mason, would you close us in prayer, please?